It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
1, 2, 3, go!
Delirious. Absolutely deliriously happy.
Thank you, George. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. It's been an interesting program. We got a chance to meet our new intern, Horst Borman.
Yes.
Is his picture up on the website? I think they took a picture of him. I think they're going to get that up on MikeOMaraShow.com.
I hope we have a front picture and a profile.
Tomorrow on our big broadcast, NBC weather guy Al Roker.
Yay.
We're going to be talking to him because he's the new host of Celebrity Family Feud.
Cool.
Survey says.
We'll ask Al if he's going to meet all the contestants the way Richard Dawson used to.
Yeah.
With a little tongue.
Hugs scheduled to appear.
I'll watch it. I'm excited
about
it.
Well, there's nothing else to watch.
It's like Password, same thing. Classic game shows rock. I love that.
The Feud.
Bloom's not off the rose for Password? For
no, not at all. No.
Steven Weber from Wings.
Yeah, what's with the guests? I'm surprised they don't have bigger names for celebrity contestants.
New York-based. I guess that's the problem.
I like to refer to it as the Regis Factor.
Yeah, that
you
could
think?
Be
a... Well, they get better polls on the Regis show.
They do. I don't understand what it is. I think it's the time commitment, probably. I think you have to put a lot of time. And, you know, Betty White's available. That's the way it goes.
And all right. She's guilty.
We're going to do tomorrow on the show also the talk of gay, the talk of Baltimore gay.
Oh, that.
And
oh.
We not only sent intern Drew up for the gay pride parade, but we sent Pater. Pater went up for the festival that was on Sunday. And so a lot of gay action that you're going to be getting on the show
gay
tomorrow.
Action, Mike.
And we're also going to be talking about suckling.
Yes.
Hey, Beth Ann. Beth Ann, I want to talk about suckling.
I'd love to
suckling pigs.
Love to hear what she has to say.
Have you ever had
this.
A suckling pig?
Now, what is a suckling pig?
A suckling pig is a baby pig.
That's nursing.
Little bitty suckling
I'm
pig.
I'm sure it's delicious.
It's all about
suckling.
It's all about
suckling.
Nursing and rhesus
Stop
monkeys prepare.
It.
Why? It's perfectly acceptable.
It's not.
You're kidding.
It. Yeah.
What do you mean it's not, though?
You can't say that.
Where did you get that one? That's not in a
the
rule
FCC.
Book. No, you did
you had a problem
not.
With them?
No, that was a rhesus monkeys, you know? That was rhesus monkeys.
There was nothing sexual about it.
There was nothing sexual.
It was
nothing. It was nothing obnoxious. I know we've got our guest. He's been very patient. Let's get this gentleman on. I'll talk to you about suckling later.
I know you will.
And you have in the past.
Thank you so much. Let's talk to Sam Gosling. He is the author of Snoop, What Your Stuff Says About You. That's available in bookstores and at Amazon.com. Sam, nice to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
This is interesting stuff. I love the cover of the book, too. It's a keyhole where you're kind of looking in it, and I've never heard of anything even remotely like this before. How'd you come up with the concept of, people's stuff will be used in personality profiling?
Well, I think we're all doing it anyway. I think we're constantly, trying to figure out what other people are like. So this was, my background in psychology. So it was really me saying, okay, let's look at this, a bit more rigorously and find out if there's anything to the snooping we all do.
Now, you're a professor at the University of Texas?
Correct, yeah.
And that's why you have the thick Texas accent,
I'm gathering. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Amarillo.
How long have you been down there in the great state of Texas?
8 years.
How does a man from the UK do down in Texas? Do they look at you funny down there in Texas town?
Yes, they do. They give me a wide berth, yeah.
What are positive things that people can have, like that everybody might have in their drawers? I'll get to the other question. I got a million of them. But what's something that if we had it, we're on the right track?
Well, it's hard to say generally because you want different things in different offices. So, for example, if you were, looking for an accountant, you'd expect that to be a very, very different office than if you were looking for, say, an advertising person where, you want it to be more creative and less rule-bound. So it's hard to come up with the generalization because, different people should be different. I mean, different jobs require different skills.
Right. So you're saying it's hard to come up with generalizations, but are there universals as far as stuff that everybody might want to have? If you've got this, you're going to do well in a lot of other fields, or is it tough to do that? You got to really be specific to the particular job.
Well, there are some things that are broadly tend to be good. I mean, it tends to be good to be organized and open-minded and extroverted in most tasks, but that's not always true. I mean, introverts are better for jobs where you're meant to be alone, like truck driving and things,
Now, this type of test for a personality profile would be very difficult, I would imagine. To accomplish. I mean, are there people that are going to really let you into their bedrooms? And does it have to be the bedroom?
No, it could be your office space, your music collection, all kinds of things. I'm really, I refer to people's spaces as very, very broadly as, all the different ways we can pick up clues about what somebody's like.
Now, I have, as far as my album collection, I don't have a lot of records, but as a matter of fact, I only have one artist. I have everything ever recorded by Marilyn Manson. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, I'm here.
It says so much.
Well, if you did, that then that would have quite a distinct profile.
I would imagine it would. Is there one? Are there certain things that you would see which indicate that a person might have some serious mental problems outside of the obvious, like a gun or a straight razor or something like that?
No, I mean, you know, some of the things, like, you know, we know that hoarders tend to be very high on this trait of neuroticism, people who can't let anything go.
I hate to interrupt you, Sam. Do we have the jingles yet with our names on them?
Because, not yet.
That would have been a Rob Spiewak jingle right there.
He hoards.
Hoarders are difficult, I would imagine. Right?
Yeah. And then also, you know, you can be OCD, too. So, you can pick those up in people's spaces.
What would you say about someone who has a massive collection of, say, music that's very particularly organized? Like
Very organized. And,
yeah,
and
alphabetized by artist and within the artist by date of release.
Yeah, well, that would be somebody high on this, or what I call the sort of the air traffic controller factor. So these are people who, you
are
know,
they good people.
Yeah,
he wants to know if they're good people.
They're very good for some things. I mean, I would mm-hmm. I want these kinds of people to be in the air traffic control tower, because these, you know, they show up to work on time, they get things done, they don't forget about, you know, a plane coming in from Karachi.
Robbie,
on the ball.
Robbie, but seriously, that's what Rob does on this show
and does it well.
Rob organizes stuff, puts things together in the studio,
and runs the controls.
And he's at the control board right now.
Yeah, that kind of, I don't need to land anything.
That's kind of interesting. I like that.
That's sort of neat, huh?
Let me see. Does the...
And the variety, though. I'd also want to know the variety. That tells you something about people, because, you know, people with a very wide... What's more diagnostic of somebody with this trait, I call it sort of the Leonardo factor, is people who have a broad variety. So far more diagnostic that you have, say, 10 records all on different genres than 100 all on one very narrow genre. And that, if you have the variety, that's the key to it, more than the number.
I have a massive variety.
Yes, okay.
He's so then got everything.
Okay, so in that case, you would be high on this Leonardo factor too. And then also, extroverts are a very interesting group, because they just like people. Mm-hmm. Extroverts, you know, the thought of a party excites them, whereas the, you know, introverts, the thought of a party makes them anxious. Mm-hmm. And so they look for people everywhere. So they make their offices tend to be more inviting. They tend to have photos of people. And in terms of music, they even prefer music that has voices, vocals, than instrumental music.
Hey, you know, it could work as far as cars, too, I would imagine.
Yeah.
If you see a car with somebody's got a lot of bumper stickers on the car and stuff like that, that means that, you know, they're inviting people in, aren't they?
Well, they are, and they're making a statement about themselves. So, you know, when we're snooping around people's places or their cars or whatever it is, we try to sort of break up the clues into the deliberate symbols we send. So that would be bumper stickers on a car would be a classic example of that. But also, there are other clues, too. Like, sometimes we create an environment to make ourselves feel comfortable. We put up photos of our loved ones or something. That's not necessarily sending signal to others. And then the other thing we do is, a lot of the stuff we do is we send inadvertent signals about ourselves, not because we're trying to. Like, my desk is very messy just because I don't put stuff back when I'm done with it.
Now, that's me, too. I have a very messy desk at home.
Yeah.
Slightly less messy at the office. And that's another question I would have for you.
Yeah.
Do you find ever examples, and in your research for this book, where somebody might be very fastidious and very neat at the office, but at home they're a total pig monster?
We find a little bit of that. It's not as much as people often imagine. And I think it does actually reflect slightly different personalities in those different places. It's not multiple personality disorder.
Are you capable of asking questions of people and then, in a very quick period of time, kind of figuring out what kind of person they'd be?
Well, what we're saying is we need to go look at their places, because asking questions of people is very easy to fool someone. You know, you could easily tell me that you were high on the Leonardo factor and high on this, you know, air traffic controller factor. All it would require is you to say that.
Yeah, right.
Whereas,
I have to tell you, Sam, that, you know, we're completely honest on this show. And this is, a radio show for the purpose of entertainment. And since we don't have our microphones in any of our bedrooms, that's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah, well, you can tell me about your places. Actually, one of the questions on the honesty survey is asking people whether they ever tell lies.
If they say
they never do, then...
I lie like a dog, but I would be willing to answer any question you would have about my bedroom right now. I would answer it honestly. I will answer it for the purposes of our listening audience, which I adore.
Okay, so tell me about your desk. One of the interesting things I like to do is look at photos of family and loved ones. Do you have any of those up?
My office at work has... I have pictures of my children. Mm-hmm. I have pictures of my daughter with President Clinton.
Yeah.
I know that's probably not the best judgment in the world, but, you know, this is when she was very, very little, so I didn't have to worry at all. And I haven't really settled in just yet, but, no, when I get something that's kind of personal, I like to display it. I like to show it off. At home, my office desk is a complete, it's just pandemonium. Yeah. It's trash, it's piles of bills, it's everything lying around.
Okay, so now we, you know, you have the photos. The real key question with these photos is, where are they? Which way are they facing? Because that's one of the things is, the very same photo can offer very different information depending on how it's located.
Mm. All right. I have two photos of my kids. The one photo that I have my kids is to the right of my desk on the windowsill, facing towards the whole room where I can see it and people coming in can see it.
Yeah.
The other photo of my daughter Catherine with Bill Clinton is on the shelf in back of my office desk facing out.
Okay, so that's key. So that's what, I mean, it sounds like the first one is doing two things. So it's what we would call a social snack. So social snacks are these.
Delicious.
Yeah, well, it's when we're away from our loved ones, and the metaphor of hunger is very good here. You know, when we've been away from them the whole day, and we can just take a little dose of the loved ones by looking over. That's why we have these things. So to remind us of a happy time or someone we love or a happy moment. So that's really for the occupant themselves. And then there are the other ones, which sounds like the other photo, but possibly, you know, they can serve multiple purposes, of course, is making a statement to other people. So that's why I really like to look at the location of most of the things, because that shows you that the psychological function that it serves.
And I have also a fully operational handgun that sits on the edge of my desk there. I'm kidding.
Warning.
I'm kidding, of course. What about bedrooms? Bedrooms fascinate me. And I think when you talk about, like, pictures and stuff like that, my bedroom is actually quite stark.
Is it?
I don't think that I even have... I might have one piece of artwork in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't even be able to tell you what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that would tell you a little bit about the function of what you do in there. That is not a place for you to sort of, like, you know, sit down and connect with those emotional feelings. So again, it will tell us about.
It's a room for work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, get her done.
Yes, sir. Are you a doctor? Do I call you doctor or are you?
I'm not a real doctor. I'm a PhD.
I can call you professor though.
You
right?
can, yeah.
Well,
sure.
It's a PhD. I mean, come on, is that a British thing? You call it doctor? Dr. Sam Gosling.
They do, but you can't do anything useful with that. You know?
Yeah, but, you know, seriously, you want to sell more books, I would put Dr. Sam Gosling.
Okay, very good.
It's just I know you're in your first printing and all that, but no, it says it right here. Snoop Sam Gosling, PhD. Mm-hmm. I like that, too. So the having a stark bedroom without a lot of artwork on the walls, what about, like, dresser drawers and things
that? What I would really like to do is look at the differences between these spaces, because that's something that's very useful. So, you know, when you're talking about what's in your bedroom, also look at what's in the other spaces and compare them. And that's one of the key things that comes from snooping, is not to look at any single clue on its own. And, you know, that's the biggest mistake people make, actually. They go in and they say, hey, you know, I have a, you know, wooden blue chicken next to my television. What does that mean? You know, and the answer is, well, you can't tell on its own. You really have to look at it in combination with other things to get its meaning.
So if I asked you what type of stuff Jeffrey Dahmer might have had in his in his bedroom, you wouldn't be able to say, well, he might have something like this.
I haven't done work with not case.
You're not into the whole abnormal psychology.
No, I mean, just the FBI are sort of looking at evidence of criminal acts, and we're looking at evidence of sort of everyday ordinary behaviors, and they differ tremendously. And I think that's one of the interesting things is that, you know, is normally when people are creating their space, they just think, oh, I like this, like that.
Right.
You know, I like to put this picture up, and they're not really thinking, why do I like this? Of the 10,000 photos I could have put up, why did I put up this one?
Okay.
Now, I know you said that you don't focus on abnormal psychology, but do you ever see anything, say, in a bedroom or a living space that is troubling to you as a psychologist?
Like a red flare.
Yeah.
The head of a dog.
Well, that would be one,
for example.
But any trends? I know you said never judge anything on its own. What do you see that sometimes says, well, this guy might not be right or happy or anything like that?
Well, sometimes actually you sort of see conflicts, sort of psychological conflicts played out. There was one student's room we went to once, you know, and this wasn't really unhappy. And we were looking at it, and it just seemed to say so many different things. And then when we subsequently found out that, you know, this student was actually going through a time of confusion and transition and so on, we've also seen in what I remember distinctly one of the rooms we went at, you can sometimes see the internal struggle of somebody who was gay and who was sort of like coming out of the closet. That, you know, and we.
What would be. Now I have to, and please give me a specific. Now you got. Yeah. Now we got something, Sam. Okay. Now we got something I can latch on to. What would you see in a room with someone who was struggling with their sexuality? Yeah.
Well, it might be that they would be sort of experimenting with displaying these things, but they're not yet totally at ease with it. So in this one room, for example, there was this guy who's coming out, and he had pictures of, you know, men in you know, without shirts on, but they were all on the back of the door. Do you know what I mean? So they were hidden. So they weren't really out, but he was just beginning to put these up. But you know, it was sort of when the private moments, when the door was closed.
I'm surprised that he didn't have those pictures in the closet. Sorry.
Well, some people
I'm
do.
Here all week again. Yes.
That's interesting. You know, my colleague actually has a picture on the inside of his cupboard, and that's what we call it's really what we call a feeling regulator. It's really a somebody who he has a great affection for and much admires. But he. It's like these social snacks we were talking about, but it's too much for him to have him up all the time. So he takes little doses. He opens the cupboard and takes a little look and then closes it.
And there isn't any ultimate, like, criminal. You don't get into that area.
I'm looking at sort of, you know, people, you know, ordinary everyday people.
Like, what would be the psychological profile of somebody that is maybe breaking into people's houses to look at the stuff they have? What would the profile be of that?
Wise and good judgment.
Of course. Are folks? Do you find that folks are honest about their stuff or not? At least doing research for this. Do people let you in many cases without warning?
They do. We have to give them a bit of warning just because of the way we have to get it through the ethics review boards to do our research.
Right.
But what's interesting is people are often inadvertently not honest, and that's why when you're snooping and you come up with, you know, a judgment of what somebody's like and you put it to them, you can't always trust what they say, and that's because people simply have different standards. We've all had that experience where, you know, you're about to go into somebody's place and they say, don't come in, it's a terrible mess, you know, and then they really mean it. It's not an act. And you go in and what they mean by a terrible mess is, you know, one of the coasters is slightly out of alignment.
Oh,
you know?
That would be your neurotic person, right. I would imagine, right?
Exactly. And also very high on the, very high on this conscientious air traffic controller factor, so a combination of things there. So the thing is, you can't believe them because they're not putting on an act, they're not lying, they're not being deceptive. For them, it is different. And that's the part of personality. Is personality affects what we do and how we have our places, but it also affects how we see the world. So somebody who's really high on this trait, they can't even concentrate if their, you know, books and records aren't alphabetized because they notice it. Whereas, you know, I wouldn't even notice that. You know, if all my books were on their sides in the bookshelf, I wouldn't even notice it. And that's why it's hard to fake.
Now, it drives me nuts.
It sounds as though, based on what you've said so far, that your evaluations are based on what is plainly seen. You don't go through people's drawers and cabinets particularly, right?
Well, as part of the research, I wasn't able to because, you know, that was the only way we got permission to do it.
Right.
But luckily, you know, as in the wake of the book, I've been asked to look through all kinds of people's offices and things, and there's I'm allowed to look through those stuff, and that's always interesting. There's lots of information there too.
Half-eaten sandwiches and things like that would be very exciting. So, Rob, you would be you're a bit neurotic, I would imagine, then, right? I mean, the guy that would be freaked out if one thing was put out of place that was alphabetized. Would that be, well, you've got them right down here, openness, conscientiousness, extroversion,
that'd be
agreeableness.
Conscientiousness, yeah.
Would that be conscientiousness or neuroticism?
Well, it would certainly be conscientiousness, and it might be neuroticism, mm-hmm. depending on how much, you know, he's freaked out. So I would do a little, I was in somebody's apartment for a segment the other day, and, you know, and she had the two faucets on her sink perfectly aligned. They were perfectly aligned at the same angle going out different ways. So I quietly went over and sort of moved one of them. And just to see how long it would take for her to put it back.
You know what? If you'd open the refrigerator, you know what you would have found in there? Pig's head. I'm sorry. Just a
guess.
Sam, it sounds interesting. We can find out about ourselves that way. I don't know if a lot of people are going to be letting you go through their door, their drawers or their houses, but it's a fascinating concept, and I hope you sell a lot of books.
Yeah, you could come to my house if you promise not to touch my CDs.
Good luck, Sam Gosling. The book is Snoop. What Your Stuff Says About You. It's in bookstores everywhere right now.
Nope.
And also on Amazon.com. Are you, what category do you fit into, Sam?
I'm chaotic. Yeah, don't let me anywhere near an air traffic control tower.
Okay. Good luck with the book, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
That's Sam Gosling, What Your Stuff Says About You. Interesting guy.
Fascinating.
So I'm neurotic, huh?
You got problems, baby.
Hey, I'm happy with me.
But you know what's nice about having an organized person?
Well, lots of things. But what do you like?
Well, the nice thing is when I exchange emails with him, and I know he's got every record that George Carlin ever recorded.
Yeah, you know it's covered.
We talked about this earlier in the show.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're saturated with some of the coverage of George Carlin, T.S., we're all huge fans, and we all grew up with George Carlin. And coming up next in our next segment, we're going to hear a little bit of some samples of the great work of a great comedian, George Carlin. That'll be coming up next. So if you're a super fan, you want to get a really good concentrated dose of Carlin.
Don't miss it.
That'll be coming next on the Mike O'Mara Show, along with our last buzz of the afternoon. So, Mr. Neurotic, do you have that together for us?
Can we please go to break right now, please?
We'll be right back after this.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.